I am so disappointed that Jimmy didn't get up and start dancing because I got all this fancy music and I bring a redneck into my show and what can I say? He'll get jammed up here in a second.
Well, so. I'll tell you what.
Jam meaning good. Hey, welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. Almost forgot to say that. Jimmy's here, and of course, I'm going to let him run. It's Jimmy Allgood. He's with Redneck Adventures, and he's got radio shows. He's got so much going on, I can't cover it all. But we brought him in because he is from Mississippi, and he brings not a lot of knowledge about fishing in Mississippi. So lay it on us. So, but give him a little background on you in a nutshell.
In a nutshell. Hey, folks. AKA Coach Jim Bob. I'm kind of the main character on Redneck Adventures TV show. We just entered our 25th year of being on national TV and global TV. Way back in the day, we started out literally redneckadventures.com. Y'all check that out. Proud to say, even though I play the Southern kind of comedy hospitality character on Redneck Adventures TV show, which is all about fun in the great outdoors, taking kids, special needs, wounded soldiers, veterans, those battling setbacks, those that serve and protect, taking them outdoors and showing them God's great creation to enjoy fishing, hunting. Our philosophy is if it flies, if it swims, it crawls, it's got fins, fangs, fur, or feathers, we chase it, we cook it, we enjoy it, and that's what we do, and that's what we've done for a long, long time. We started back in the day as just an outdoor concept that we thought redneckadventures.com when the internet was brand new, because my background grew up in a family, redneck. And I say redneck, I mean that's God, family, country, and treating others better than I would be asked to be treated myself. That was just the way I was reared. And I won't go into the whole history of rednecks and other countries and coming to America, but that's another long, we'll eat up the segue, and I don't want to do that.
That's right.
But, my family grew up with some Cajuns, some Fontenots from South Louisiana.
Right.
So when you tag team a redneck and a Cajun,
what do you get?
You get a red backside. And I'm not going to say that on the podcast, but you know, my dad and Mr. QL Fontenot, we crappie fished, we bass fished, we deer hunted, we squirrel hunted, we rabbit hunted. Had the great opportunity of growing up on a place called Giles Island, which is like God's country for the outdoors.
Is that close to Natchez?
It is close to Natchez. It's really, it's known as Cowpen Point. Just a quick little intro. Way back before the Great Flood, 1927, 28 or so, the Corps of Engineers, the Mississippi River used to make a lot of S snake curves through those Oxbow Lakes of right there by Natchez, Mississippi. And when the Corps of Engineers changed the direction of the Mississippi River, so to say, it let those Oxbow Lakes create ecosystems of cypress trees and willow trees, and the abundance of wildlife in those waters and woods is just, it's amazing. So I grew up and cut my teeth. My dad and Mr. Fontenot were good friends with Mr. J.B. Salters of Salters Jig Poles. We know Blaine Salters, who's carrying on his family tradition. My dad and Mr. QL was also good friends with a man by the name of Bill Lewis with the Rattle Traps. Yep. So I was that little test kid that in a Folgers coffee can, and Mr. Bill Lewis would bring a bunch of those rattle traps, and I would test them out in Marengo Lake. And I was in those younger years, I was able to learn how to catch bass with a rattle trap or crappie with a jig pole, Salter's jig pole, that was a rite of passage and a way of, we hunted to live, we lived to hunt, we fished to live, and we lived to fish, so to say.
Right.
And growing up in a family of technology, 8th grade-ish to 12th grade-ish in the summer times when it was hot like this, Dad literally would take me up to IBM school in Atlanta from 8th through 12th grade. So I'm sitting in there in the three-piece suits with all these older gentlemen. So I was... Now, later on in life, I realized that was a great thing, because by the time I got to the 12th grade to go off to NLU in Monroe, which is now ULM, to get computer science degree in marketing, I was already basically an IBM engineer, so to say.
Right.
Not bragging, but in the 8th grade, that's when I built my first computer in 1978 from a bunch of parts from Radio Shack, which many of you older folks may remember the Radio Shack.
That's right.
We Redneck Adventures turned into a TV show. It was local at first. Then it went to Jackson, Mississippi, where Fox 35, when Fox was brand new. Right. We went on statewide TV there. And then a few years later, we wound up with a great marketing director, the same guy that led the marketing efforts for people like Jeff Gordon, Citibank, Papa John's Pizza, Dollar right. General. So in 2007, we wound up at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, chasing partners and sponsors, so to say, like we all do right. in the TV world. And next thing you know, we're on the Jay Leno's Tonight Show. And back in that day, Jay Leno with the what we call the NAPTE, the N-A-P-T-E, the National Association of Professional Television Executives, we didn't have any idea that we would be part of 300 shows in competition. And I believe on a Friday night at our squirrel hunt, you were there yep. last year at our squirrel hunt, back in 2007, my marketing director, Rick Durand, let us know, hey, we're going to be on the Tonight Show tonight. Y'all tune in, tell all your sponsors. And at the time, we were very lucky. We had Bad Boy Buggies out of Natchez, Mississippi, Bubba. And me and Stork actually came up with that slogan for Bad Boy Buggies. Bad Boy Buggies, they'll never hear you coming. That's a whole nother long story right. about, you know, that story. But we had a lot of great partners. We won that pitch to America out of 300 shows. Hollywood contract came to us. Thank goodness we had a great entertainment lawyer. We told Hollywood no. We've stayed true to our roots. And again, we're in year 25. We're on episode number, 300 or so. We spent many years on the Sportsman Channel when uh-huh. it was brand new. Then when Rusty Falk and a bunch of the other rednecks, so to say, hunting across America, fishing across America, and Rusty Falk, a lot of those guys, basically, nice way I can put it, Brad, is they got kicked off the Outdoor Channel. Right. And Rusty came and formed the Pursuit Channel. We ran on the Pursuit Channel for several years, and I think I was on an airplane flight back from Argentina with a bunch of wounded soldiers. Now, right. Over the 25 years, we've taken over 1,000 soldiers. Many of them are women and men who may be missing an arm, missing a leg, double amputees above the knees from places like Bamsey, Brooke uh-huh. Army Medical Center in San Antonio, or Walter Reed, the places that a lot of these soldiers wind up after they're over there in a foreign land fighting for our freedoms,
right.
and they wake up what they call their alive day, and they're in back on American soil. But we've had the blessings of taking a lot of these soldiers. I'm on that airplane coming back from Argentina, and Stork comes to the back of the plane and says, hey, you need to think about what we're doing on TV. And at the time, we were having to take so much of our marketing dollars that we were going and trying to get. Right. And we were having to pay to buy all this airtime. We were editing, we were filming, we were doing all the stuff, the production, the creativity, the whole nine yards, and creating it. And I just put on my thinking hat on that 12-hour flight back from Argentina to Atlanta, and I said, hey, self, why don't you do something a little bit different? And this was in the beginning time, so to say, of YouTube and, right. You know, way before the Amazon Fires and the Roku channels. But I knew there was some things on the horizon that was coming, especially with the speeds of the internet and my inner knowledge, so to say. Not my inner knowledge, but things I knew from technology of what was coming in the future that could be done. So we started building our own networks, Mid-South Broadcasting. You can check that out, midsouthbroadcasting.com, midsouth.tv. That with those networks, those are kind of the umbrellas over what now we own a couple of radio stations down
right.
in Natchez that we blend in film, TV, radio, and now we have, with about 16 different high schools across Mississippi, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and other states, we take the technology that I've learned in TV and education, and we take from third graders to college students, and we teach them film, TV, broadcasting, production, and live stream. So we've got about 16 high schools, and on any given Friday night for football games,
right.
32 different teams are displayed. They all have, each school has their own Roku and Amazon Fire, as well as their own TV channel. And glad to say, about 500 live stream broadcasts last year. We had a little over 1 million people tune in and watch live Friday night football in about a, what I call a 720p. meaning what you watch on like ESPN Today or these other channels that are out there on your main TV, we're putting out that same quality, but we're doing it with the youth. Right. And what has been a blessing, Brad, is so many of those kids that are now adults, we started that project about 13 years ago, and now it has blossomed. And, you know, when you get a kid a scholarship in technology to go to a college or a university, there's a whole bunch of kids out there that may not love football, basketball, baseball, or sports. And when their parents see that they're getting an opportunity to go to college or a university in technology for film and all that, that's just good stuff.
Now, that kind of takes us up to today where you're starting to dip your toe into the fishing industry.
Absolutely.
I mean, the fishing industry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know,
what can you tell us?
Well, what I can tell you is not too many months ago, but it's got to go back to almost 18, 20 years ago. Right. Mr. Paul Alpers, the main man, so to say, a two-time champion in the crappie fishing world. Uh-huh. I didn't realize till we crossed paths many months ago that me and him were on a stage up around Grenada or Batesville at Lake Enid or Sardis or one of those, right, those lakes up in the north of Mississippi. And we wound up on a stage together at a crappie tournament of me being a guest MC with him. Fast forward this many years later, I've always been following a lot of the things because, like you see, the jersey that we've got here at the local high school where I've coached volunteer since about 1987, I saw many years ago that bass fishing in high school, as well as in elementary, right, that so many of these colleges out there, college bass fishing is huge.
That's
now,
right.
I got to go back to, I'm fixing to be 60, and I can remember being a 19-year-old when I closed my eyes and fishing over there at Lake Fork, Toledo Bend, the first ever Bob Seeley's McDonald's Bass Classic.
Yeah.
Hello. And yeah, then as a 19-year-old with an older gentleman, a good friend of my dad, who was fishing on the circuit at the time, I fished the Red Man circuit a little bit with him as a 19-year-old. So I kind of cut my teeth way back in the day of fishing in general. And what, uh-huh, I've been watching is we've been blessed in my hometown, in my area, we've brought state tournaments for high school kids,
yeah,
a couple of hundred kids come to our state tournament through a great organization, Bass Tactics, a, yeah, good buddy of ours, Richard Parker.
Yeah. Give Richard a shout
absolutely
out.
Absolutely, Richard Parker and the Bass Tactics gang and everybody that's all about. Yeah. He came, we crossed paths. He came to our school at Adams Christian years ago. Matter of fact, he had that beautiful wrapped up boat and a wrapped up truck. And I believe AC was playing the Silliman Academy Wildcats that Friday night. We were broadcasting it live. But a lot of the students that were along the outside gates, we brought them in and they were crawling all over Richard's boats. And he, uh-huh, was giving them worms and tackle packs and, yeah, things like that. Next thing you know, I think I was ordering about 50 of these jerseys to outfit a lot of the kids and everybody else, wow, at Adams Christian. Fast forward to right now, we've got a 10th grade girl, a 9th grade girl. I think they're not only the number one team in the state of Mississippi, but they're high in the nation as far as their rankings. They each have already won tournaments. They each have $40,000 apiece that they won in scholarships.
Right.
There's another set of young gentlemen. Matter of fact, the brother to one of Carly Ann Harveston, her brother, and his partner, Levi Beasley, they've each won a major tournament down in the Atchafalaya Basin area. A couple of Novembers ago, they've each won $70,000 a piece. Now, to go with all of that, in the past 5-6 years, we talk about college bass fishing and how far it's come. You got to look at teams like Montevello University, yep, over there near Birmingham.
Yep.
I believe out of the 70-plus kids that are fishing over there now on that team, 5 or 6 of the kids over the last 5 or 6 years have come from a lot of the teams in Mississippi and Louisiana that, yep, many of us has coached. And, right, here's the best thing about that, Brad. We talk about sports and the outdoor world. I don't know many teams in college football or any others that have won 3 national championships in a row.
Right.
The Montevello University team has done just that. That gives a powerful statement to what we're doing as parents and coaches, motivators and inspirators to teach our kids about fishing in the outdoors. So,
well, that takes us back to what we started on.
Absolutely.
Now, what's this? Is there a secret? Or can you release it? Or well, what can the, you? What can the, you talk?
The secret, the cat's out of the bag. We cross paths with Mr. Paul Alpers and Tim Ponder and all of the team. You're on the team, Big Mike Jones on the team, Bobby on the team, everybody else that's on this team, National Crappie League, National Bass League, National Fishing League. We have, with several of our backers and partners, have kind of taken on a role of, one, not only taking all the media and taking it out to the nation on these live streams at these different events, as well as making TV shows that we're excited that a lot of these TV shows are going to be coming out. And that's going to open up a whole new umbrella, so to say, of what we're doing to let the world know about all, you know, National Bass League, National Crappie League, National Fishing League. But we are now not only the media partners per se for them, but we're actually owners in the whole organization, and I couldn't be prouder to be a part of seeing what this organization is doing. And I know from doing events over the past couple of years in my backyard, Major League Fishing, when you talk about the Bassmasters and MLF and FLW and all that, we've had MLF come in my area twice in the past 5 years. And let me tell you, Brad, a little bit about my area of Natchez, Mississippi, right there where you've been in the radio and TV stations, that we host all of this major deal that we have with AT&T as a fiber dealer. All those streams on Friday nights all come in and get sent back out to about 110 million homes across America and about 130 million homes across the globe. 240 million homes where people can watch sports, hunting, outdoors, kids. And here's what I've learned over the years being a coach and being in the outdoors. If you make the kids smile, you make the purple-headed mamas to the papas to the aunts to the uncles and everybody else smile and enjoy. And that's the enjoyment that I'm getting right now of where I can see the future of where we're going with the National Crappie League, National Bass League, National Fishing League. Take today, a hot summer day up here on Ross Barnett Reservoir. We only had about seven or so teams that fished today, but here's the deal. Three of those seven teams had a husband and wife combination.
Yep.
Second place team out of that seven was a husband and wife combo. She's only been tournament fishing with them as a dynamic duo for 1 year.
Yeah.
The weights that they brought in 2 days in a row, the fish don't just jump in the boat. It takes a whole bunch of stuff to actually get those fish caught.
Talking about fishing, that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time, sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft baits, and they have everything you need to be catching those crappie and going out. And also for trolling and pulling crankbaits or pushing crankbaits, which is pretty popular, Pico Lures has 42 different color patterns in the deep divers and 14 in the square bills, so you can check them out. Now, one thing that we want to mention is also your team philosophy.
Absolutely. I've used that as a coaching. I've been blessed to be able to be coached by some of the best, not only my dad, but other high school football coaches, baseball coaches, and everything. And I took those concepts, and when I came back from college and spent a lot of several years playing men's, traveling, semi-pro kind of softball, but I started coaching and refereeing in about 1987. And what I mean by team, when I say that, together each achieves more. Now, the other blessing in disguise for this organization of the National Crappie League, National Fishing League, National Bass League is we've got a nonprofit 501c3 called Team Up, the number four and all, Team Up for All. And the whole concept with that is taking third graders again to college students and helping them learn the art of technology and film and all that good stuff. Right. We also work with other groups like the United Cajun Navy, who does disaster relief and so many other good, good works. Me and their good, good director and founder, Todd Terrell, are like brothers from other mothers. As we speak right now in West Monroe, Louisiana, there's a great, great awareness deal that we're broadcasting live, by the way. And that's good stuff that we're doing. We work with another group, Oath. It's about soldiers and, and helping them get out outdoors, those that are battling setbacks like PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And we take those women and men outdoors. And then we work with great groups like up in the Greenville area, Camp Looking Glass.
That's right.
Where those kids to adults battling setbacks that, and I believe as we speak, they're having a great camp week at Camp Looking Glass. So that's kind of what we're doing, Brad. We're taking all of the nonprofit umbrella, so to say, with all of these different media entities. And we didn't even get into some of the things that we're doing for about 16 different churches. I even have a church in Ocean City, Maryland, called the First United Methodist Church of Ocean City, Maryland. Yeah. Every Sunday morning, in the morning when you wake up, you can watch them. They go through our networks of live streams. So how about a bunch of rednecks that people from the north are using our technology?
They talk funny up there, too.
They do talk funny. So. I don't think they put no salt in their crab boil when they're boiling them lobsters. I don't know. But, you know, I love being able to just take everything that we're doing and give back. You know, in the world today, in the outdoors world, there's givers and there's takers, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, everything that we're doing is all about giving and giving back, and that puts a smile on old Coach Jim Bob's face.
There you go. There you have it. Well, that ends our show. Like I always like to end our show, make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.